Take your Bible, hold it high to the Lord. If you don't have a Bible, hold your hand up. But I want everyone to say with me, this is the Word of God. And I believe it's true.
I believe it's true.
It's a light unto my pathway. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a roadmap to heaven. Tonight I shall hear the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing. Faith to believe God for finances. Faith to believe God for miracles. Faith to believe God for our families to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Kedrick, could you come up here and move this? Leave that right there just for a second. Let's move this over here so I can be between you all. Amen. When I first started pastoring, all my congregation sat towards the back. And the first few rows were always empty. So I moved my pulpit about three rows back so I could be out there close. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 6. And I want to begin reading. I want you to follow with me as I read. Praise God. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 6. John 6:1. Would you say that, please? John 6:1. Hallelujah. I remember I just started pastoring, and I couldn't get a sermon. And people don't realize it's kind of difficult. So I told my dad, I said, I really have trouble getting sermons. He said, well, son, when you have trouble getting a sermon, just preach on faith. So for the first 2 years, I preached every sermon on faith. But I remember I got to church, and I lost my sermon. I lost my notes. And so I got up to preach, and I couldn't find my notes. So I said, please turn with me to the book of, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There's a wonderful presence of the Lord here. And I'm looking for my notes. I said, hallelujah. I want you just to, I just feel everybody should bow their heads for right now. And I said, I want us to sing another song. And I went out. I thought, well, maybe I left it in the car. But I didn't. And it turned out to be a great service. I think my sermon probably was killing the Spirit of God, but it turned out to be great. I want you to follow with me as I begin reading John chapter 6, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because he saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. So Philip answered him, he said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000 men. The Catholic commentary says there probably was up to 30,000 people, counting women and children. And so Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so nothing will be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come unto the world. Now, Father, anoint your word with great power. I pray tonight there would be miracles that would happen in our lives, in our families, in our future. I pray today, Lord, as we set the destiny, we set the future before us through this time of fasting, that you would release angels, you would release an anointing upon us that would be greater than anything that we've ever seen. Now, tonight, I want to give you a promise for this fast. It's found in the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 28. It says, "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established." Say that with me. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, I decree that this fast, nothing will come against you that will defeat you. I speak today in the name of Jesus. This fast is supernatural. It's ordained by God. God has driven many of you to fast. He has led many of you into this fast. And God shall establish the works of your hands. There's going to be a release of wisdom that will come upon you, that every decision you make will be the right decisions. This will be a year of productivity. It'll be a year that you're moving in faith and victory. This is a time that God is going to give you instructions. He's going to give you guidance. He's going to give you peace. Some of you have not had peace for a long time in your home, with your family, with your children. But those days are coming to an end. God is releasing an anointing, and your steps are going to be ordered of the Lord. This day will not be a day of stress. This fast will not be a time of exhaustion, but it will be a time of peace. You will rest in the presence of God, and God shall set you free. I want you to lay your hands on your chest right now, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. So, Lord God, you have a plan for my life. And as I fast and pray during these 21 days, may a new anointing come on my life. Now, devil, get out of my life. Take your hands off my body, off my finances, off my family. Now, I want you to draw a circle about you. That circle represents the will of God. It represents God's plan for you. And the priority of every prayer you pray is that God will put you in the perfect will of God. I don't care who you are, you get out of that circle and you'll go down. And I want us today to begin to decree and pray out loud by pulling every member of your family into that circle. I want you to speak their name. Your children have the God-given right to have their name called out before the Lord every day. So, Father, today, in the Jesus' name, we proclaim the will of God over our family. Come on, I'm not praying by myself. Pray with me. Hallelujah. Father, I decree that all of our family shall be saved. I decree that there will be breakthroughs with our children, with our family. Now begin to speak the names of your family. Father, I pray for Margaret. I pray for strength and health in Jesus' name. I pray for wisdom. I speak Jessica and Justin, Lord. I decree that every evil power is broken off their life. I pray for Rachel, Lord. Begin to use her mightily in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, two boys and two girls, may she be productive. I pray for Rex and Elizabeth and John. I proclaim, Lord, Landon shall fulfill his destiny in life. I break off of Jacob every evil work. I speak upon Lincoln the blessing of the Lord. I loose the gifts of music upon Murphy and on little, whatever her name is, Lord, on Tiffany. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless my family in the name of Jesus. Now tell the devil to get out of your house. Tell the devil he has no rights over your family. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we loose a spirit of wisdom over our families. Wisdom in handling money. You said if we'll get wisdom, it will be greater than the mayors of 10 great cities. And so today we decree every setback shall be turned around and we shall move forward in the name of Jesus. Now pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not mad at anybody. I forgive everybody. I forgive everybody in this church. I forgive our pastor. I forgive our children. I forgive my spouse. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just mad at the devil. Now, Father, you lead me and guide me. Fill me afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost. Father, may miracles happen through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And then he grew to 100,000 people. And then to 250,000. And then he grew to over 1 million people. My dad was on the board, Dr. Cho's board, and when my father passed, he asked me to come and serve on the board, and I have for about 25 years. And he passed just recently, and now I'm the vice president of the Church Growth International, and my duties particularly are over the United States, North and South America, and Europe. And we are growing, and I believe this year we will have 10,000 new churches. I believe, God willing, we will surpass the Roman Catholic Church. We have churches that I've just spoken in Indonesia. That church is over 200,000 people. And I remember when the tsunami hit it, God woke me up. I was on a fast. We were on a fast, just like this one. And at 3:33, this angel comes into the room, and he woke me up. And I went to my study. I sat in there, and I was praying. This angel said to me, he said, "You are to send money to Indonesia." I said, "Well, I don't even know anybody in Indonesia." And I looked, and when I did, there was a small catalog, and I reached over and got that catalog, and I just opened it, and it was a picture of a pastor, Jacob Nahaway, from Jakarta, Indonesia. It had all of his information there, his phone number, his email. And so I called his number. Now it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon where he is. 12 hours difference. He picks up the phone. I said, "Brother Nahaway," I told him what happened. He said, I said, "God told me to send you some money." He started crying. He said, "I've been on my knees praying that we needed money. We've almost lost everything through this tsunami." And so my daughter and a group were on a missions trip, and they went there. They took him $25,000. And so this past year, they invited me to come over there and preach. And I'm going to tell you, that's the biggest church in that country. And God is doing a revival, a great move of God, like you would not believe. There's an island by the name of Tamar, and it's been about 80% Muslim. 80% Muslim. And Hendrik Voister, who spoke here, was on a plane and leaving out of, Singapore. And as the plane got into the air about 15 minutes, one of the engines blew. And when it blew, that plane had to circle and try to make it back to Singapore. People were crying, were screaming. They had to put the life jackets on, and they landed safely. And Hendrik was very calm. He began to try to pray for people. They put him in a room, and he began to go from person to person and pray for them. He came to a Muslim man from Tamar, a very wealthy man. He began to pray for him, and he led him to Jesus. And so he said to him, he said, "I've had a young man that I sent to Tamar, and he's trying to build a church." Well, this young man and his wife had been in Tamar, this island, and they could not find any property. And so when this Muslim man flew back to Tamar, he found this couple. He said, "Jesus has saved me." And he had some of the most valuable property on the island. And he gave this property for the building of that church. Today, there's such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Tamar that over half of the population are now Christian. When I was in Indonesia in September, they asked me to go to Tamar and preach. I said, "I can't go. I can't get off right now." But there's a huge revival going all over the world. All over the world. In Africa, Islam is trying to take the continent. 27 heads of state called Benny Hinn and ask him to come and do crusades. "We'll pay for everything." The First Lady of Uganda called him. He went to Uganda. They had 1.5 million people. They had 80,000 pastors that attended. Their choir was over 10,000 people. This last week, the president of South Africa called. He said, you've got to come. We cannot allow Islam to take over this nation. So God is doing unbelievable things. There's a revival taking place in Iran. There are 75,000 mosques in Iran, and 50,000 of them have closed. It's been a number of years ago I was in Iraq, and we smuggled 10,000 Bibles into Iran to a church. They did it on horseback. I had to pay $250 a horseback for these. They were smugglers. And I didn't have to pay them until they delivered the Bibles. There was a church there that runs over 3,000 at the time that we brought those Bibles in. Today there's such a move of the Holy Spirit. And there are Green Berets, Special Forces, all on the border. All on the border of Iran. Ready to go in at any time. The Black Web came out today and said that they will go in within 2 days to take Khomeini. And so God is doing things just before he comes back. He's setting the oppressed free in Venezuela. He's setting the oppressed free all over the world. And you're going to see changes in Colombia. You're going to see changes in Cuba. You're going to see changes throughout the hemisphere. And the woke is going to attack every person, but God's going to use whatever means he has to do to send revival. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise clap. Hallelujah. Now tonight, I want to do something a little different. I want to share with you the greatest miracle in the Bible. This is not even for debate. Every theologian agrees with this. The greatest miracle in the Bible is the miracle of multiplication. More people were involved in this miracle than any other miracle. It's the only miracle that's in all four Gospels. There are miracles listed in one or the other, but this is the only one in all four Gospels. They know exactly where this took place. Without a doubt, the rock in which he laid the bread, he blessed it. They built a church over it to protect it. They know when it happened, right near Passover. So it was sometime in March or April when this took place. And there was a mountain there. That mountain is where the Beatitudes were taught. And without a doubt, this is the location. And so when the boy brought the loaves and the fishes, God took those and he multiplied them. He multiplied them, and as I mentioned earlier, the Bible says there's 5,000 men, probably 30,000 people in all. And so a little boy would ask his granddad, he said, Dad, Grandpa, you saw that miracle? Yes, son. I was there when Jesus multiplied those bread and the loaves. You were there? I was there. I ate that fish. What did it taste like? It was the best fish I ever tasted. He said, and then there were baskets left over. Every disciple had a basket. And Jesus said that he was able to do this, but this anointing would be upon the disciples. And they would see the multiplication take place as well. And then when the gospel was spread all over the world, the sign of the gospel was the fish. It was a sign that God will multiply you, that he will bless you, that God will elevate you, that God will open new doors to you. And this miracle still happens today. It happens every time you give your tithes, your offerings. God takes and he multiplies it. Now, I want to share what Dr. Cho did. A poor man in a little church, a tent church. And every year, he would take and preach on the miracle of the multiplication. And then he would release the anointing of the 12 baskets full. The 12 baskets full. Now you may say, well, does it work? Well, today he has 50,000 millionaires in his church. And not a one of them had two nickels to rub together when they started calling that church. He's got one billionaire. The president, the acting president of South Korea, is a member of that church. And so the pastor Lee is now, Dr. Lee is now the pastor of their church. And so he called me about 2 weeks ago, and he asked me if I would tape a prayer for that special service. And tonight, I want to release the 12 basket prayer that releases the 12 streams of finances in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to get everything out of the way. You say, Pastor Bob, are you a prosperity preacher? Absolutely. Do you want me to pray for you to go broke? Do you want me to pray for you that you don't have money to pay your bills? Do you want me to pray that kind of prayer? How many are honest in this room? Hold your hand up. So if God blesses you, you'll pay your bills, you'll pay your tithe, you'll honor God, and you'll help the gospel. Listen, this is what God has ordained, and all through Christianity, He's taken nobodies and He's elevated them to somebodies. And this is what this is going to be tonight. It's a time of blessing. And so I want to begin to go through these 12 areas of release and how God releases the blessings to you in the name of Jesus. And I want to start right over here. There's 6 baskets on either side. I don't think you even see these. Can you even see these? Hallelujah. Well, I'll start over here anywhere you can't see them. I'll tell you what, let me set them up here. Help me out here, Kedra. Just set them up here. I'll start over here. The first area in which God begins to release the blessing is through the tithe. Somebody say the tithe. Hallelujah. The tithe is not, the tithe is 10%. I'm going to set it right here. Can you all see that? If you can't, that says the tithe. The reason God has a tithe is 10%. If you weren't good in math and tithe was 8.5%, or 7.75%, you could have an excuse. But God owns it all. And out of that, we give back to God to show ownership of the tithe. Now, what I'm trying to say, and I want everybody to understand, money is spiritual. Money is spiritual. If it wasn't spiritual, why in the Lord's Prayer would God have you to pray that give us this day our daily bread? And then he ties it to the next scripture, the next part, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I would of all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So as we fast and pray, do you think that helping your soul to prosper? Come on. Amen. So as our soul prospers, God wants us to prosper spiritually in the name of Jesus and to prosper financially. Now, I want to tell you why money is spiritual. If my car breaks down and I need to get my car fixed and my brother here has a place to fix his cars, I go to him and I say, look, I need you to fix my car. And he tells me how much and I pay him. He does a great job. And now we've got a connection. And so if something happens in the future, well, old Bill here, he's got a car. He'll fix it good for you. And you get to know Bill. You get to know his family. You get to know his children. And so you can trust him. He can trust you. So you want to buy a new car. So you go over to Bill's car lot. You meet Bill and you buy that car. At that time, there's a connection. We're spirit beings. There's a connection. And so when you need to buy another car, you go back to Bill. Bill, what you got kids? Oh, man, I got great kids. And you become friends. It develops into a relationship. You help people as you begin to do business that they can go and buy a car, that they can pay their bills, that they can fulfill their dreams and their hopes. Now, what happens if Bill at the car lot sells me a lemon or cheats me? I don't like it. It makes me break my relationship with him. There's a spirit break in that. Now, why is that so? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so when a person comes and they bring their tithe to the Lord, and they honor God with their tithe, there is a relationship that God begins to develop with them. And so God says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. But you have robbed me. Therefore, you're cursed with a curse. Just like Bill would sell me a lemon and deliberately do something to hurt me financially. That feels that way because we're made in the image of God, and that's how God feels. So you cheat God of your tithe. I would rather cheat the 7-Eleven store than cheat God. I'd rather steal from Walmart than steal from the church. Because you don't want to get God on the wrong side. You don't want to get on the wrong side. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the only reason you come to church is to pay your tithe, that's a good enough reason. Because you make a connection with God, and money is spiritual. Say that with me. Money is spiritual. And then, if you want to be blessed in any way, it begins by giving the tithe. The second is that we're going to release tonight a restoration of everything that's been stolen. How many's had some things stolen from you? Well, here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 6:30-31. If a man steals for food and he's caught, then he must repay seven times more. Now, if my family was starving to death, you don't think I'd go and steal from Kroger? I most certainly would, and you would too. It's an honorable thing to feed your family. It's wrong. It's stealing. And if I'm caught, then I have to pay seven times more. Now, let me tell you why that is. Because the law in the book of Leviticus says if you steal an ox, you have to pay five times more. In other words, you have to pay five ox. And then you have to pay two more ox for stealing the utensils that you butchered him with seven times. That's if you're for stealing for a righteous cause. That's if you're stealing for food. But what if you're stealing for drugs? What if you're stealing just to rob them? Well, you're going to have to pay more than seven times. You're going to have to pay 10 times. You're going to have to pay 20 times. You're going to have to pay it all back. And the Bible says God will restore it. Come on, do you believe that? God will restore it. I've got a real good friend. Her name is Darlene. She pastors Darlene Bishop. I'm going to set that right here. Darlene Bishop and her husband pastored in Cincinnati. And somebody came in and broke into her house and stole all of her jewelry. And so the police came over and they were talking. They said, well, it's probably somebody you know. So that night she's praying in the Holy Ghost. It's about 2 a.m. and the Holy Spirit spoke to her, the person who stole her jewelry. So she calls the police the next day and the detective came out with his pad. Said, I know who did it. So he's writing all this down. Who did it? He wrote it down. He said, now how do you know that? The Holy Ghost told me. And he looked down onto the floor and he looked at her. He said, the Holy Ghost told you that he robbed you? Yes, the Holy Ghost did. Well, he closed his notebook. He put the pen back in his pocket. He says, well, it's going to have to be more than the Holy Ghost for me to make an arrest. So she called her brother. Her brother lived down here in Nashville and just got out of the penitentiary. And she said, this guy stole all my jewelry, my watches, my rings. He stole it all. And the Holy Ghost told me he did it. He says, well, now, sis, said, are you sure the Holy Ghost told you? Said, yeah, I need you to come down here and help me get it back. And so he had an old pickup truck, had a window broke out of it. He had a piece of cardboard up there, and he drove to Cincinnati from Nashville. And she thought he was going to come over to her house, and they were going to talk, but he didn't. He drove right over to the guy who stole it. He took a ski mask, put it on, stuck his finger in his pocket like he had a gun. And when he came over to Darlene's house, he had a whole pillowcase full of jewelry. So he poured it out there on the bed, said, "Now, is any of this stuff yours?" And she's, "Oh, yeah, this is mine. This not mine. This is mine. That's not mine. This is mine." And she picked it all out. And he said, "Well, I think I'll keep the rest for my troubles." And he drove back to Nashville. Now, I'm not saying that's how God's going to restore it. But I'm here to tell you, God can restore everything the devil has taken in the name of Jesus. And God's going to do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about how God releases his blessings, there's a tithe. There he restores that which has been stolen. And also, he anoints you for you to get debt free. Hallelujah. Debt free. Debt free. I was born in debt. I was a $40 baby. It took 3 years to pay me off. My first baby bed was a dresser drawer. Every time I'd cry, they just shut the drawer. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, it says this, that you shall lend and you will not borrow. And God has called his people to be blessed. Now, there's no other people on the face of the earth that's been more persecuted than the Jews. They've been kicked out of 70 nations. They have not been allowed to own property. They've not been allowed to do certain things that would allow them to be medical doctors and certain guilds. They were kicked out of Spain in 1492, and the very day that Christopher Columbus left, they kicked him out. And so it was called the Spanish Inquisition. Christopher Columbus was probably a Jew. We know his grandparents had Jewish blood. And the first three people he hired were Jews. And when he sailed to America, the first guy he hired was a guy by the name of Torres. Torres went into Cuba, and he went into inland, and he met this native, and they were growing this stuff. He didn't know what it was, but it was tobacco. So he took this tobacco, and he became the first millionaire in North America by selling cigars. So if you meet anybody by the name of Torres, they're probably a descendant of this fella, and they probably smoked a lot of cigars. But this is God. God took the Jewish people who couldn't have jobs, who couldn't get hired over here at General Electric, couldn't get hired at Ford Motor Company, couldn't get a job at UPS, couldn't become a doctor, couldn't work at the hospital. And so they begin to just piddle around, and they begin to sell jewelry. They begin to work like that, and they begin to collect money, and they begin to loan money. That's why the owners of banks are a fraternity of Jewish people. And God bless them. And God will bless you, and God will bless me in the name of Jesus. And this is a year I'm getting out of debt. I'm going to pay off my house. I'm going to pay off my mortgage. I'm going to pay everything off in the name of Jesus, God willing. If you receive that, raise your hand right now. Keep your hand raised. Father, I loose the angels of God to help people to get out of debt. May this be a year that they absolutely cut up their mortgage. They are delivered totally from the pressure and stress that debt has upon them in the name of Jesus. If you receive that, say a big amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are my cards here? They're over here. Praise God. This is the next area in which God uses to bless people. And I want to share how this works. To send people across your life that know how to open doors for you. Know how to bless you. Now, we biblically can stand on this because Jesus, as a baby, King Herod was going to kill him. So an angel came to Joseph at night and he warned him. But he had to flee. And so God sent the wise men. These came from Persia. They were wealthy men. They traveled 1,000 miles to come to a king. And there was a professor at Wake Forest University who did a study. He did a doctoral thesis on it of how much money that it was worth in today's dollars that the wise men brought. He came up with a very educated, accepted amount of $4 million. There are some estimates that have been up to $10 million, and it might have been, but it was at least $4 million. Now God raised those men up to bless Joseph, and that's how they fled down to Egypt. They didn't live under a bridge in Egypt. They lived the way they should live, the way a king should live. And then when they came out of Egypt, they were able to start their own business. They had a very successful, prosperous business. When we talk about finances, God can send people across your pathway to bless you. Our church was going broke. We were behind on our bills. We couldn't make the payments, couldn't make payroll. And in this process, we prayed that God would save a millionaire. And he would come to our church and pay his tithe and get us out of debt. 2 weeks later, Colonel Harlan Sanders walked right down to the front row. He got born again. He cried and prayed at the altar. My dad prayed with him the sinner's prayer. And so a few weeks later, my dad was on a plane going to Houston, and the colonel was on that plane. He came back to my dad. He said, "You know, I haven't cussed since you prayed for me." And he said, "Could you use some money over that church?" And my dad said, "We sure could." He paid his tithe to our church that helped us to pay our church off. God has somebody he can send across your pathway. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise, though. I've got a TV station over in Israel. And it's been a real challenge. It cost me about $20,000 a month that I have to raise to keep that station on the air. And when you start dealing with people like that, it's that help that run it. Sometimes they can take advantage of you. How many's been down that road? Hallelujah. Well, now we are turning that into a satellite. So there will be an uplink that goes up, and you'll be able to reach every nation in their language, the way the new technology is. But it's costing a lot of money. And so I was facing a deadline, and I was praying. I said, "God, you've got to help me. You've got to send somebody to help me." And I said, "I want you to give me a sign." And God gave Elijah a sign of a bird. There was a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's a bird's bigger than your hand. And probably at 3,000 feet, you could probably barely see that cloud. But it was a sign if you're looking for it. And I'm walking my dog, and I'm praying, and my phone rang. And this guy called me. He said, "Brother Bob," he said, "I don't have any money." He said, "I used to, but I just want you to know that if I had the money, I'd give you $1 million. Well, I appreciated that, but to me that was a sign. It wasn't much of a sign, but it was a sign. And sometimes God will speak to you in little ways. So as I'm walking, the Holy Spirit spoke to me of a man who's the richest man in the world. And he was going to finance this. Now, I don't know the richest man in the world, but my daughter does. And my son-in-law do. And this rich man called and tried to hire someone who worked for my son-in-law, and my daughter was there and got on the phone and prophesied to him. He cried like a baby. Since then, he has read the Bible through, he said, over 5 times. And so he called my son-in-law and he asked him to come to work for him, to run one of his businesses. And my son-in-law turned him down. And he'll call sometimes 3 and 4 times a week. I've been there when he's called. And so in this process, God spoke to me, said, this is the man that I'm going to release hundreds of millions of dollars into the kingdom of God. So I called my son-in-law. I said, listen, you've turned this guy down. You need to accept that job. You need to tell him you'll take this job, and he also needs to help us. And so he said, well, I haven't heard from him for a little bit. I said, I'm telling you what God told me. 2 hours later, he called him. He offered him that job again, and Rex said, all right, I'll take that job. And he said, however, for me to take it, I need some money over in Israel. He said, how much money do you need? He said, I need $26 million. I said, you said $26 million? Man, why didn't you just say a million? I'd take a million. That would get us. But he said, no, I need $26 million. He said, all right, we'll work it out. Now, I haven't got any money yet, but I will. God will send someone to help you, to open doors to you, to make a way for you. And you begin to pray, God will open the door. I was building a TV station down here in Bowling Green. And I flat was out of money. I needed $500,000. I didn't know where I was getting the money. And I'm praying. And I decided to call the First National Bank in Nashville, Tennessee. So I just called the number. And a guy answered the number, answered the delay. I said, I need to speak to a commercial lending officer. So this guy answered. He said, hello, my name is Willie Deal. I said, that's not your name. He said, no, it's Willie Deal. And I got laughing. I said, that's the greatest name I ever heard for a banker, Willie Deal. And he got laughing, and we got talking. And he said, well, come on down. And he gave me $500,000. Hallelujah. God's got a way for you in the name of Jesus. I was building a building, and I ran out of money. I couldn't raise enough money to buy a toaster. And I needed over $2 million. And so I called my staff in. I said, now listen, I know there's sin in the camp. Our money's dried up, and I want to know which one of you is living in sin. And I went right down the list. I'm not pastor, I promise. No, I've been faithful to my wife. And I said, no, somebody's here is wrong. Somebody's in sin. I'm going to pray, and God's going to show us who it is. So we got down and began to pray, and the Lord said, you're the one. I said, me? He said, I told you the person who could help you, and you've refused to go see him. Well, the guy that God told me to go see had been in arrested 53 times. He was a bookie for the Cleveland mob. And I said, oh, God. He said, this is a man that will help you. So I drove over. He owned a bunch of motels, and he pulled up in his pickup truck. Listen, the big money drives pickup trucks. They don't drive Mercedes. They drive pickup trucks, Ford 150s. So he gets out, and I went over and shook his hand, and he said, how you doing, preacher? I said, I'm doing good. I said, I'm Bob Rogers. I said, I know. He said, you prayed for my granddaughter when she was sick, when she was born. I'd forgotten I'd gone to the hospital. I said, yeah. He said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I need to borrow some money. Well, he pulls out of his pocket a wad of bills that would choke a horse. He said, how much you need, preacher? I said, $2.5 million. And he said, oh, my goodness. He said, well, come on in, and well, let's talk. And we got talking, and he said, well, you got collateral? I said, yeah. And he said, well, why don't you call my lawyer, and we'll talk about it. I said, well, actually, I need $600,000 by 2 o'clock today. And so he said, well, Brother Bob, he said, most of my money's gambling money. I said, well, that's all right. Every Sunday, I launder money every Sunday anyway at our church. And so we worked a deal out on a napkin. Are y'all listening to me? What am I talking about? God's got people that know how to bless you and open doors for you. We worked a deal out on a napkin. And he sent me $600,000. Before 1 o'clock that day. Now, since then, he's been a fine man to me. I can tell you some other stories on that, but I won't. But I'm here to tell you, he asked me if I'd do his funeral. We've become good friends. God knows how to open doors for you, and they may not be saints of God who do it, but God will send the money in the name of Jesus. You think Cyrus was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost when Daniel went to him and they opened the, and he provided the money to rebuild the temple? Absolutely not. But God has people to bless you. And so you need to pray that way. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to move him. Then the next is God is going to give you power to make wealth. Now listen, you think about this. Thou shalt remember it's the Lord thy God that gives you power to make wealth for the establishment of the covenant. It's tied spiritually. He'll make wealth for you to be able to carry out the work of God. Now I want to listen to you right now. We talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank God for the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost will help you make money. And God will give you power, but this power starts right now with the changing of your mind. If you think poor, you'll be poor. Back in the days of the 1500s, there was a great theologian. His name was Thomas Aquinas. He wrote much of the theology that we have. They say next to the Apostle Paul, he probably was the greatest theologian. There was no Protestant church, Catholic church. There was just the church. He came from a Bill Gates type family. They were always had the money. But the one thing he had it wrong was over money. He says money is evil, it's terrible. And he made the priest take a vow of poverty. And consequently, there was great poverty. So 70 years later, along comes Martin Luther. Martin Luther's translating the Bible into German. And he discovers through reading the Bible of these hundreds of scriptures that God wants you to be blessed and be prosperous. So he wrote 600 books. How many books did he write? Listen, Dottie's Lutheran. She knows all about this guy. And so Martin Luther's first 95 books were written against Thomas Aquinas and his doctrine on poverty. The first book he wrote is Why God Wants Christians to Be Wealthy. And it was based on this scripture. And it was based that for you to prosper, you've got to understand it's God's will for you to be blessed so you can be a giver. Hallelujah. And so he wrote that, and consequently, Germany, which was one of the poorest of all the countries in Europe, became the wealthiest because they changed their mind. Now, when there was a split between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, you know it was over? Forget about the just shall live by faith. There were all those issues, but the main issue was money. The main issue was Martin Luther said, God wants you to be prosperous and be blessed. And the Catholic Church says, no, he doesn't. And that's how the Catholic and the Protestant Church split. But yet most people in all churches and most Christians think poor. Hallelujah. You got to change your mind. You know, Jews don't think that way. Have you ever met a Jew that thought he was supposed to be poor? No, they think they need to own it all. Well, that's how God made us to be. And let me say this. He made us to be that way because God wants us to be blessed. I'm going to place that right over here. Hallelujah. The next is women to be prosperous. How many women are here who believe God wants you to be blessed? Hold your hand up. How many of you women want... believe God wants you to stay poor. Listen, who do you think made the clothes that Jesus wore and they gambled for? Do you think fishermen went out and bought those clothes? Come on, do you think that those old guys went out and said, oh, aren't these beautiful clothes? No, men don't do that. Women did that. Prosperous women did that. And this is a time that God is raising up women with great prosperity and great wealth. When the time came for the children of Israel to come out of Egypt, it was the women that went out and got the money. Hallelujah. I believe in this room, there are women that will be wealthy, millionaire women. God shall open doors to you that have never been opened before. Start praying, start talking, start believing it in the name of Jesus. This is a season of great wealth. There was Lydia in the Bible. How many remember who Lydia was? She was the seller of purple. Purple is a royal color, and it's for the wealthy. And so that's where the church was. It was in the house of Lydia. And God blessed her. She had the money to be able to open the church there in Philippi. And so what about Rahab? You think Rahab owned this business? Listen, let me tell you about Rahab. Now, when you read the Bible, it says she married Salmon. And that was in the lineage of Christ. But actually, she married Joshua. And then when Joshua died, she married Salmon. She is considered one of the four most beautiful women that was ever born on the face of the earth. Out of her lineage came Jeremiah, came Ezekiel, came Hilda the prophet, came five different prophets, including Jesus, out of her lineage. Jesus came from the lineage of Rahab, who had some issues. But she was a wealthy woman who had issues. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to bless the women. And all the women that believe that, say amen. I want the women to stand up right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will begin to open doors this year that have never been opened before for you. Come on, ladies, stand up. Father, I loose today the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, these 12 baskets that are left over, I loose them in the name of Jesus. And I pray today their miracles will happen for the glory of God. I pray new ideas, new opportunities. Father, in Jesus' name, give them favor for your glory and honor. And everybody said, amen. The next is Jabez's blessing. The Bible says this, that Jabez was born in a time of trouble, and his mother called him Jabez and placed a curse on him. His mother placed a curse on him. But Jabez prayed, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. And you would enlarge my tents. And you would give me favor. And I would not sin against you. And I would not cause people pain. And the Bible says, and God honored his prayer. God will break every curse of poverty in Jesus' name. How many has had some curses upon you? Sometimes it happens with an alcoholic dad. You went through a divorce. It wasn't your fault. Your parents got a divorce. You've gone through situations that wrong decisions. You weren't criminal, but they lost their job. They had a layoff. They went through situations. And trouble hit your home. Financial problems hit your home. My dad was one of nine kids. His dad was a state marshal and was killed in the line of duty. They lost their farm. They had all kind of people work for them because they couldn't pay a tax bill. So they had to move to Wichita, Kansas. My grandmother had two sisters that lived there. And she didn't make enough money to feed the family. So my dad and his brother had to move over with an aunt and to live with them for a while. Poverty is a terrible thing. But God knows how to break the curse. God knows how to break the curse. I want every person that's been under a curse financially, stand to your feet right now. God's going to break it in the name of Jesus. God's going to take it off of you. Father, I come against every curse, every hex. I come against every demon that has robbed you, that has stolen from you. I come against the evil spirits that have gotten into your lineage, that's gotten into your grandfather, your grandmother, your dad, and now they think that you belong to them. They think they can put the same curse on you that they've had on others of your family. Devil, you're a liar. I bind you, I break you off of these in the name of Jesus. Father, you take off what the devil's put on them, and you put back on them what the devil's taken off of them. Now I command that what he's put in you will come out, and what has taken out of you, God will put back in. I loose the curse in the name of Jesus. And just as Jabez prayed that prayer, and you answered it, you shall break this curse tonight, and this year you'll not be under any financial curses for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great big praise clap. I'm going to move real quick. Wealth transfers. God knows how to put the money in your hands. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I was preaching one day, and this lady, she's a black lady in my church, she said, Brother Bob, so you talk about getting blessed. She said, I don't even know anybody who owns property. The only person in my family that ever owned any property was my grandpa. He owned a farm, and the white people stole it from him. He was down in Georgia, and he sold it to these white people on a contract, and they never paid him. And I said, well, God knows how to turn that around. God knows how to bring that money back to you, to transfer that wealth. And so about a month later, she comes into church, and buddy, she is all dolled up. She's got a new hairstyle. She's got jewelry. I can't even describe what she looks like. She had more gold on her than Mr. T. And I went to talk to her. I said, man, what happened to you? You look all blessed. Oh, Brother Bob. She said, remember me talking to you about my grandpa? Says, well, those people who stole that from my grandpa, they were selling it to the Hilton for a hotel. It's right there on the interstate. And when they went through the title, they saw that they had not paid my grandpa. And so I got the share of my daddy. My daddy died. I got his share, and her other sister, I got some money. But it was almost $500,000. Come on, somebody say amen. God knows how to bring the money in the name of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now listen. The Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And so we translate that. If you don't speak in tongues, and if you don't go around casting out devils and lead 100 people to the Lord this year, you know, you don't have any power. But let me tell you what's power is money. Somebody had to pay for this church. Somebody had to have the power to pay for those lights. And so the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now listen what it says. Both. Everybody say both. Both. Say it again. Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now how can you be at all those places at the same time? Only with your money. And so you have power to win people to God through your giving. It enables Pastor Barry to get up and preach the gospel. It enables the missionaries to go forth. It's what enables you. It's power. And if you're a tither, and if you prosper and you give, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, 60% of the time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Acts, it has to do with money. Did y'all listen to me? It does not have to do with casting out devils, even though that's a part of it. But it has to do with things that were accomplished that took money to do it. And so the power of the Holy Spirit will enable you to prosper and be successful and be blessed. There was a spirit-filled oil man. He was over in Egypt. They were looking for oil, standard oil. And they couldn't find anything. He was getting ready to come back. That night he was reading the Bible. He's reading from Exodus how Moses, they took pitch and they put it on that little basket. He said, if there's pitch, there's oil. They went down to Goshen, and that's where the big oils, wells were hit. I mean, they were hit at 2,000 and 3,000 feet. Those oil wells, there was one of the huge wells were hit at 500 feet. It was down in Goshen. It came through the Holy Spirit, directed him and guided him. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will do that. Praise God. This next one is an avenue of God of the hundredfold blessing. Now, the hundredfold blessing is in Isaiah 58 when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Now, if you give and you don't pray, God will still bless you. It's a 30-fold blessing. God said, I'll bless you 30, 60, and 100-fold. But if you add prayer to that, you get a 30-fold blessing from praying, you get a 30-fold blessing from giving, and you're walking in a 60-fold blessing. But to get the 100-fold blessing, it takes all three disciplines of giving, praying, and fasting. So if you're on this fast, you're eligible for the 100-fold blessing. So at the conclusion of the fast, you plant the seed. You plant the biggest seed you can plant. You plant what you feel God tells you to do. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know what that means? You dream for the stars. And then you begin to speak it. Something you can never accomplish in the natural. But as you begin to speak it and you open wide, then the faith begins to flow and God begins to answer it. Oh, hallelujah. So, if you are a faster, you plant a seed and God is going to do something great. Praise the Lord. Let me go quickly. This 11th one is the angel of prosperity. Can you see that? I never knew there was an angel of prosperity until I was on a fast. And 3:33, this angel shows up. I go in the other room. And I said, you know, I've never seen you before. He said, well, I'm the angel of prosperity. I said, well, where are you in the Bible? In a half a second, he took me on an hour and a half tour through the Bible. I mean, he showed me scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. The first one was in Genesis 31:11. An angel came to Jacob in a dream. And he gave him the solution of prosperity. He said, take the ringstrake and the circle, sheep and goats, and that will be your pay. Go to your father-in-law, that will be your pay. And then begin to peel poplar wood and make it streaked and put it in the watering troughs. And when the sheep go to get water, they'll see that spotted and speckled. And they'll mate spotted and speckled. And that's how he became a wealthy man. An angel came to him. An angel came to him. God showed me Joseph, where it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. This angel said, it was the angel of the Lord that was with him. Now, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit assigns angels. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, in all of the countries of the world where people are praying, God's releasing angels. He's releasing by the tens of millions every minute. And the Bible says that he, as you begin to cry out to God, he releases the angels. And he sees things, plans to destroy you through accidents, through troubles. He picks that up on the radar. The angels have been released. This is why when you pray in the Holy Ghost and you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you. And he begins to deliver you. But God has angels. And I'm going to close with this. the seed faith giving. The seed faith giving is beyond your tithe. Your tithe is what you owe to God. The seed is what you plant beyond that. And it's based on this. God's your source. Who's your source? Who's your source? Not your job. Not the American government. If you work for a store and that store goes broke and that's your source, you're out of business. It's like a friend, Mark Hankins. How many's ever heard of Mark Hankins? He's a good friend of mine. He's a preacher. His dad told him, Billy Bob Hankins. He said, Mark, God is your source, and my name's not God. God is your source. And so God, for God to release, His laws are, you plant a seed. Look at the physical world. You don't plant, you don't get apples without somebody planting a seed. You don't get corn until somebody goes out there and plants a seed. You don't get tomatoes until somebody plants a seed. And God did that in the natural realm so we could see how it worked in the spiritual realm. And so the Bible says in the book of Philippians, my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And then it begins to go and talk about how Epaphroditus sent once and he sent twice. He sent again. He brought an offering that blessings would abound to your account. To your what? To your what? That's a bank account. And that a bank account is in heaven. So every time you plant a seed, it goes to your account in heaven. And the interest on that account is amazing. Deuteronomy 1:11 says, I'll bless you 1,000 times more. But you know what? God blesses an apple tree a lot more than that. An apple tree, the average apple has 5 seeds. And if God just blessed it 100 times, you'd have apples, 20 apples was all that tree would bear. But a good apple tree will bear 5,000 apples in its lifetime. That's 25,000 times more. I tell you, when you give to God, God's interest goes into effect 1,000 times more, 25,000 times more, 100,000 times more. It all comes back. It all comes back. Now tonight, I want to wrap this up. But I want to pray the blessings of God to come on everyone here. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to get out of debt. He wants you to get that stress off of you. He wants to open the windows of heaven so your dreams and your goals are fulfilled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I had this kid came to me. It was a girl. She said, Brother Bob, she said, I want to go to college. And said, we're on this fast and you're talking about planting a seed. She said, I've babysat it. I've got about $1,200 from babysitting. What would happen if I gave that to God? She said, I fasted these 21 days. She was a senior at high school, Ballard High School. I said, well, God would bless you. So she planted that $1,200 seed, high school student. In February, she came to me. She said, Center College, which is the most expensive college in the state of Kentucky, has given 2 scholarships, and I've applied. Would you pray for me? She said there's over 200 people that applied. Guess what? She got the scholarship. It was almost $300,000 scholarship. So her brother's Josh, he said, you know, God did that for my sister. You think God might do that for me? He said, I've been caddying all summer. He had about $1,600 saved. So he comes in and he plants that seed. He fasts 21 days. He got a governor's scholarship to the University of Kentucky that was over $250,000. Today he's an accountant. So their youngest daughter came to me. She said, he did it for John, for Josh. He did it for my old other sister. Do you think he'd do it for me? I said, honey, you're the best of the whole litter. And God's going to give you the best scholarship of them all. She planted her seed, a little over $1,000. She got a full ride to Wake Forest, $75,000 a year. She's a doctor. She's a medical doctor now. Don't tell me this thing doesn't work. It works. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to plant a seed. And you may feel that God would have you to plant a seed, and you're going to have to do it by faith. Maybe you don't even have the money. It's one of those things you open your mouth wide. Now, God, you got to fill it. I can't give it. And I'm going to ask as many as can to plant a seed of $1,000. Now, you may not have $1,000. If you have $1,000, you give it. Give it tonight. Your seed gets in the ground. If you don't have $1,000, but you feel God would have you to do that, then you give what you can. If you've got $100, you give $100. If you got $200, you give $200. Whatever you've got, you give it. And then God, it's up to God to do the rest. I said it's up to God to do the rest. I was on a fast, and I had this preacher come in. I'm gonna close with this. Had this preacher come in, and I said, now he's gonna take an offering at the end of this fast. And I told Margaret, I said, now I'm gonna be up on the platform, and so when he's gonna ask for $1,000, and you come up. She said, all right, I'll come up. So he said, I believe that God's want some people to give $10,000. Margaret jumped up, and she ran right down to the front. I thought I was going to die. I started sweating, and so I got up. I went down there and stood with her. I said, and I was tugging her. I said, "Why'd you?" I said, $1,000, not $10,000. She said, "Well, don't you believe God can meet us?" And I felt ashamed. I said, yes, I do. Amen. You know, once you jump into the icy cold water, after a while it doesn't hurt. I said, all right. I said, it's up to God. God's got to help us, and God's got to make it work. And so I started giving. And then I had a piece of property. I moved some property, and I got some money. I gave it. And it took me about 2 months, and I paid that $10,000. Now, the week I paid that $10,000, this guy called me, Bobby, what was his last name? He was a chiropractor. And he said, Brother Bob, I know you've done some rental properties. He said, I want to get into rental business. And the bank says I don't have any experience, and I need to have somebody who's got some experience. Would you be my partner? And I said, yeah, but I don't have any money right now. He said, oh, no, you don't need any money. Bank's going to loan us all the money. And so I said, yeah. So we bought these 50 units. And so we bought them, and we kept them for about 3 months, and they had a fire over there. And so the insurance paid for all of it, and we sold it, and we made $250,000 off that. So we bought another group of units. Then we sold that. I made more money off that $10,000 seed than I had made in years. I'm going to tell you, God will honor whatever you do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, you believe that today? I told you I was going to close a while ago, but this is my last closing. Brother Barry mentioned my dad. And I love my dad very much. Maybe some of you didn't have a good dad. I had a great dad. He believed that if I slept past 7 o'clock, I'd get bed sores. So I've had a job and had to get up 6:30, 6 o'clock all my life, 5 o'clock. I've had a job since I was 12 years old. But the last 3 years of my dad's life, he went off the payroll. And the church at that time, around about 2000, he went off the payroll. He said, Bob, he said, I want to give so much money to the work of God. There's no way I can do it. So I'm giving my salary. And so I'd opened a TV station and we're just hanging by a thread and national car rentals. They traded me a car for their airtime, a rental car. So I went over to my dad and I said, Dad, here, your car's shot. Here, I want you to have this car. And God met him. He met him without any payroll. God blessed him. God helped him. Brother Oral Roberts, when he retired from the university, they said, we're going to pay you a salary for the rest of your life. He said, I don't want a salary. If God can't take care of me, then I need to get out of this business. And for the rest of his life, Brother Roberts just lived by faith. So 10 years ago, I made a decision. I was going to get my salary. And I've done that for 10 years. Now, I say that not to brag in any way, but God has blessed me from other sources. There are times you go through and you say, oh, God, how am I going to make it? But God will honor your seed. When you plant your seed, you have the confidence with God.